Hey, this is Tim McKernan, and I am here with Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and I have been a longtime Design Air client. What separates you guys from everybody else?
It's becoming more common for companies to just get their foot in the door. They try to come up with different ways to upsell. They try to see how much they can make off of a customer as opposed to, hey, we're in there to do a service. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it for a fair price.
I don't know how many emails I have received from our listeners who experienced the incredible customer service Design Air Heating and Cooling provides. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling online at designairservice.com.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
After a serious car accident, people have two questions. Why me and what now? Well, no one knows why you, but I'm Terry Crouppen, and my law firm, Brown & Crouppen, sure can help with the what now. Car repairs, medical bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. We're Brown & Crouppen, and we've got all those answers. All you have to do is call. 222-2222.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. Credit card companies spend millions of dollars a year to keep you further in debt. All these gimmicks like 0% transfer, 10% off today's purchase are nothing more than traps to keep you further in debt. What if I told you the solution to all your problems was only 5 minutes away? Your home has gained equity at the fastest pace in over a decade. Put that new equity to work and pay off all your credit cards today with a cash out refinance. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn on 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com.
706 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com live. From the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet Studios, Johnny Landoff. Support the sponsors there at Highway 270 in the Washington Elizabeth Exit and online at Landoff.com. Doug, do you know a jingle that you would like to sing?
Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, it's the low overhead way. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
Nice.
Bye. Yeah, well, that's a good one. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, if we were a boy band, I would say you'd be the lead singer.
That song has stood the test of time.
It's
I remember hearing that when I was four or five years old. No, I remember that way back in the 60s.
And the folks at home that are listening can't see, but as you sing that jingle, you're undulating. You're feeling the music.
You know, I got the music in me. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
He's undulating.
It's the low overhead way. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Thank you, Marty Bronson.
Not as good as Gaga.
Well, Gaga would do it in the studio and then probably lip sync it when
it
came
Iggy,
time to sing.
Iggy, if I may, I know we have a lot to get to today, including a Blues loss in overtime. Poor boys were playing their 12th game in 20 days. Very gritty performance. But Iggy, watching Gaga last night, it dawned on me that maybe Iggy is right. Maybe, I don't know her, but she seems like a wonderful person, and her performance with Mr. Cooper was a delight. So I'm going to tip my cap to you. And I thought she might be the star of the evening until the lady that won Best Actress went up there and her acceptance speech.
Yeah.
I thought she kind of stole the show.
She was kind of funny.
Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Doug, it was spelled with a U.
I know. It was clear that Bradley Cooper was really singing, but I thought maybe Gaga's part was being piped in over the loudspeakers.
Oh, no.
And he was singing along with her. You know, kudos to him because we knew he was an actor. We didn't know he sang like that. But I'm assuming that her part was done weeks ago in a studio somewhere.
Oh, come on.
And she
Why are you doing this, bro? Kind
of mouthed along with the words for the presentation last evening.
I won't even answer that. I'll give Tim kudos, though, because Tim, even though he picked the wrong one by going with Bradley Cooper instead of...
Cost me $50, Iggy.
Yeah, but you did say that there's always one upset in these big categories, and you're right.
I would have never. I didn't know who Olivia Colman was. The cat. I agree that her speech stole the show. Along with, I'd be remiss if I did not acknowledge the performance of Shallow with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. But her speech stole the show.
Did they have something going on, Bradley?
I don't know. I texted Tim last night.
It's an act.
You texted me last night?
They do it for money.
No, I think Friday I texted you and you didn't know what it was about, and I said that Gaga called off her engagement. And that's probably why.
Oh, yes, you did. That was a non sequitur text, but at 9:16 in the midst of the show, you said, for real, we weren't even having a conversation. If I had to guess, I would say Gaga effed, and I Jameson was reading my text, and I had to explain to him what that meant. If I had to guess, I would say Gaga effed Bradley Cooper, just out of nowhere, just kind of at 9:16 in the middle of the show. Just that was on your mind.
That's what you texted. Iggy, they're actors. They're acting like they're in love. They did it for the movie. They did it for the song last night. They do it to make money.
Did you watch it?
I watched about the second half of it after the Blues game. I watched it.
And did you see the way they look lovingly into each other's eyes?
They're actors.
All right, I'm just asking. I don't know. I didn't even realize that that was a thing until I looked at Twitter after that moment, and people were like, mm-hmm. You know, like there's something going.
Yeah. They do this for cash. Like, yeah, they do this for millions of dollars. They act like they're in love with each other.
You're saying Keisha Gray doesn't like to be with seven gentlemen?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're acting like actors don't hook up. A lot of marriages and engagements break up after movies are done because the stars have sex.
It happens from time to time. A lot of times it doesn't.
Most of the time, Bohemian Rhapsody. Those two are a couple now.
All right. Most of the time it doesn't happen. You see a love scene on a movie or TV. They're not really in love. They're just acting.
Yeah, but how about like sports talk radio where two of the hosts suddenly leave their families and move to a cabin in Vermont? It happens a lot.
Like when?
Well, that time you and Tim were talking about getting a place together.
No. Fake news.
You know,
absolutely fake news.
I'm not Mr. Oscar like you, Iggy, but
Iggy is Mr. Oscar.
I felt like they needed a host, and it never came more into play than at the end of the evening. I was wondering, like, without a host, who wraps this whole shebang up? And I guess it was Julia Roberts who didn't seem like she was prepared for it. Yeah.
It reminded me, and I'm sure it reminded millions of Americans, how I would close out Girl Next Door contests. It's kind of like, hey, we need you to throw this thing together. And I think she was told in the moment, hey, we need you to throw this thing together and end the whole show.
Because at first I thought she went, yes, but but I was thinking, like, you have no host. And you just had this moment where there was 87 people on stage for the best picture. Someone's got to pull it together and say goodnight. And the look of fear on Julia Roberts' face tells me the producers didn't think ahead. And they were like, Julia, are you still there? Yeah.
Still a great night.
Wrap it up.
They can't find anybody who hasn't told an off-color joke or dressed in an inappropriate costume or said something to somebody at some point in their life that will stand up there and host it anymore. Nobody can pass the political correctness standard now.
It did go quicker without a host, you know, coming out and doing a shtick in between every award, which is funny sometimes. But if I was running the Oscars, here's what I would do.
Now, this is the guy who wants the United States government to be a dictatorship with one guy. But go ahead.
That was a tongue-in-cheek.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But here would be the one rule.
Okay, let's hear the rule.
If you are sitting so far in the back of the room that it takes you 8 minutes to get to the stage,
you can't get there.
You don't get to give an acceptance speech. Just stay back
there. Well, most of them aren't. Most of them are right up front.
Man, when you've got the ones who won for makeup, you would have thought they just won for best picture. There's three of them up there. Got to thank him. And then the music played, and they're still up there talking. You won for makeup. You put on some rouge and some lipstick.
They don't say rouge anymore, I don't think.
Can you imagine if in some crazy secondary world somewhere you won an award for, like, logistics, and they didn't let you get up and say something? You'd be hopping mad, sir.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say, you know what? Mm-hmm. Look, it's an award I won, but it's not really relevant. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. I'm sitting in the back row, and you're going through all these people, and excuse me, it takes you 8 minutes. If it takes you that long and you're so far in the back that nobody cares if you win or not, your category is so mundane that you're in the back of the theater, you don't get to speak.
Well, I think all the people in the front row there were either nominated or connected to a person who was nominated. And the big categories are there up front. So by the time you get to those secondary categories, they have no place to put them except in the back.
Did Gaga's movie get snubbed to a certain extent? Because, right, Cooper wasn't even nominated for best. I was watching with my wife after the Blues game and during. I had to watch the game on my phone because she wanted to see it. And she's the boss in the household. But she loved A Star Is Born. She also loved Bohemian Rhapsody. But she felt like there were awards that she thought A Star Is Born might get and didn't get. Were they snubbed to a certain extent?
I don't know. I mean, it was a great movie, but A Star Is Born probably was the most underwhelmingly underwhelmed movie of the entire.
What does that mean?
Underwhelmed movie.
As far as it had so many nominations in every award ceremony.
Yeah.
And all it won was Gaga for Shallow. It won nothing else in any.
So
award.
I'm asking, is that a snub, do you think?
I don't know.
It's,
I mean,
your
I,
opinion. You love that.
I mean,
movie.
I thought it could have won for adapted screenplay. I thought what Bradley Cooper did with that compared to the other three was different. So I thought that could have won, but it didn't matter for director. I mean, nobody's going to beat the Roma guy anyway.
She could have won for best lip syncer in a rom com.
No, that's not true.
Shut up.
Gaga came off as a really nice person, even though the movie didn't get a lot of awards. I thought her performance and the way she came across made it her night, until that lady that I have no idea who she was
Lydia Cole
was going up there and going.
Yeah, I thought that was great, though, because she had no clue. I mean, she didn't think she was going to win, and
no.
I just think the way she acted was so humble, and I loved her speech. But I don't know. If you look at it, then, for her winning, then it had to be close, because everybody thought Glenn Close was going to win. The only time Gaga won for actors was at the Critics' Choice Award, where she tied Glenn Close, so they both won. But that had to tell me that if Olivia Colman won, it had to be pretty close between those three. But anyway, I didn't think she was going to win. But yeah, you're right, Kat. I mean, it had 8 nominations last night and only won one.
Doug, do you know Jill Gutowitz?
Jill Gutowitz?
Yeah.
I don't.
Didn't you go to elementary school? She was the one that taunted you for wearing the ugly pants?
No, I didn't know Gutowitz.
She said she's officially accepting Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper into the lesbian canon.
Due what does to that mean?
I don't know. I'm just reading a text that Brandon in St. Charles screenshot and sent in. Into the lesbian canon, due to their exceptional displays of yearning. Yearning is, and I can't stress this enough, canonically lesbian.
I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, I'm all for lesbianism, but I don't know anything
about
that.
You're saying Bradley Cooper is now a lesbian? Is that what that said?
Well, Jill Gutowitz is saying it. This isn't anybody else at this moment.
Yeah, well, she's an important voice.
How do they
she's
do this?
She's blue check mark brigade. She's blue check mark brigade.
Okay. How do they do this? So you take an actor who's not known for singing, like they did with the guy in the Johnny Cash movie, Ring of Fire, right? You take,
Joaquin Phoenix.
You take
and Reese Witherspoon, right?
Yeah, that's three. You take people that aren't known for singing, and you make them into good singers. How do they do that?
A lot of them can sing. Before, when
but
they
Cooper,
got the job,
Cooper,
they started
I think
out.
It was, and for, what is it, Phoenix, the guy who played Johnny Cash?
Joaquin Phoenix.
He hadn't sung at all. I could see if, like, that was part of their background was singing. How do they do that?
I don't know. I would think a lot of they get cast in that role because they can sing. A lot of people can sing. A lot of people are really good singers. You see that just on the reality shows. There's a world of people out there that can sing really well.
There's a difference between a guy who has sung a little and being out front singing with Lady Gaga, who's got one of the great voices. Iggy, I'm going to give you a tip of the cap on that. She can wail.
Well, part of the key is that you can go in the studio and record it 100 times until you get it right, and then you lip sync it when it comes time.
That
to
was
put it
not
lip
synced.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you listen when I talk? Because I told you, not just Gaga, Bradley Cooper, too. They did a lot of that at Coachella because they wanted to. It was Gaga who said, look, I don't want to go in the studio and record these. And then in the movie, you just dub it in. I want to do everything live.
Yeah.
So they did a lot of it at Coachella. And Bradley Cooper just knocked it out of the park in his solo stuff. So, yeah, he can sing. And obviously, I'm sure she helped him. And
Guys, stars effing each other is what broke up Dom DeLuise's marriage. That's Carla's Danger. Is that true?
I don't know about that. I have no information on that one.
That made me spit coffee, actually.
Why would Bradley Cooper drop a supermodel for Lady Gaga? Jesus, that's from the poor man's Don King.
Yeah, that's a reasonable question. Yeah. I mean, he's got plenty of money on his own.
Well, yeah. She's been with women before, so maybe it's a threesome thing.
Oh, you think they're having the less popular MFF?
Although me and Plowsy were talking before the show at our smoke break that...
Smoke break, let's put that on the record, smoke break before the show even started.
Yeah, I like that it's singular.
I do believe that he's holding off breaking up with his girlfriend because it would look really obvious if they both broke off their engagements at the same time.
What do you base this on?
Just, you know...
Lesbian canon thing?
Yeah. The way they look at each other and how she...
They're actors.
How she dumped her fiancé.
It's what they do for a living. It's how they make millions. They act like they're in love with each other.
Yeah,
that's
but
what they do.
But let me ask you this. If you put on a performance in a movie that takes a lot of time, and it's got to be an emotional roller coaster, and you're kind of bearing your soul out there, is there a possibility that there's some connection? You were telling me that there was an editor named Rico, and you guys were editing a really complex package one day at the Four Fox,
yeah.
And you guys got really close off of that.
And it ultimately led to the breakup of Dom DeLuise's marriage.
Well, Angelina Jolie stole Brad Pitt from Jennifer Aniston when they filmed Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
2003.
They hit it off, they had sex, and that was the end of Jennifer Aniston.
Of course it's happened. Sure it has. It's probably happened a lot. Yeah, but doesn't happen every time two stars make a love story together?
I didn't say every time. It's just very odd that they've been in love and they just planned this marriage, and every award she won, she was thanking him, and then all of a sudden, boom, done.
What's boom, done?
The engagement, it's off.
Boom, period, done.
Boom,
period,
done. Her engagement off.
Not like Adam done.
Okay, and who was the who was she engaged to?
Some guy, Christian. She works for her talent agency.
Did you ever see the movie?
She was engaged to a woman?
No, he works for her. The agency, I think CAA, he works for that company, and he's part of her.
Inner circle.
Well, part of her agency, I guess, one of her agents.
All right.
Did you ever see the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with the great Jack Nicholson? Tim, you're more of the show historian than me, but if I'm not mistaken, after that movie, Jack Nicholson and the big Native American guy who got the easy baskets because he was so tall apparently went on vacation.
I don't think so. I think he dated Nurse Ratched for a while.
Is that true?
No, that's not true. Jack Nicholson.
Oh my God! I think pots left and right.
I think Jack Nicholson dated every other Hollywood starlet.
Yeah, he banged quite a few of his co-stars, Anne Margaret, a few others. Tim, the guy that...
how do you have that information?
Well, I read her autobiography.
Oh, did you?
And then I interviewed her.
Oh, come on. When did you interview Anne Margaret?
About her book.
When was that? Long time ago?
I don't know. Wait, long time ago, yeah. Tim, the guy that had on the pink tux, Hawaiian guy, is that the guy? Is that Drago?
Yeah.
It was? Okay, I couldn't tell. I thought it was, but I couldn't tell.
And who was the guy with the black dress, the black tuxedo dress?
I thought that was so empowering.
Oh, Lord.
Hold on. Tim, thank you for... You want a gun?
Towering.
Tim, thank you for having the courage to say that.
Yeah. Jameson had been asleep, and they were doing... Oh, in this wonderful post-show on E! On the Oscars, and reviewing everybody's outfits and speeches, and it was so empowering to watch him wear a dress.
Yeah.
Something that oftentimes men won't do.
No.
But now, because Billy Porter did it, now I want to see Jameson in a dress today.
Can I tell you something, Tim? I think you're missing the point on this one.
What?
Because it wasn't just a dress. It was an upper-level tuxedo, lower-level gown. And what it told me is that fashion is the purest form of expression of who you are. It doesn't know boundaries. There are no gender barriers. So I tip my cap to him also, because I feel I'm a little freer today for what he did last
night. What it told me is the guy's a total nut job. That's what it says.
Has a straight guy ever been an analyst on one of those shows? When you're talking about outfits?
You did the 84?
I did the 84 Grammys. It wasn't the Oscars.
Oh, Grammys?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a big night for Michael Jackson, wasn't it? Thriller album?
It was. Yeah, I broke down a lot of outfits that night, I'll tell you.
Well, didn't he dress like a little soldier with diamonds all over his...
Yeah, but he could pull it off. He could pull it off.
Well, it was empowering.
Yeah, you took the red jacket to school with you, even.
It was a one-day experience. It was a Thriller jacket. It didn't play well in South St. Louis. You would have thought it would have.
What was empowering was Lady Gaga wearing a $30 million Tiffany necklace.
Doug, did you find that empowering? Because it was something that so many people...
Why do you find that empowering, Iggy?
Well, because it hadn't been worn since, I think, Audrey Hepburn and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, that's a definite detail about it, but how is it empowering for you? You still worry about if your car is going to start as you make your way. How is it empowering?
It did start this morning. Because it hadn't been worn so long, and they reached out to Lady Gaga. After 58 years, we want you to be the person to wear this.
Oh.
And that's empowering to me that they brought that out after 58 years and said, we want Gaga. After 58 years, you're going to wear it.
All I know is Tim made the great point about the guy who wore the tuxedo slash gown, okay? That was empowering for all of us. The fact that she wore a very expensive piece of jewelry, I don't think is in the same class.
Well, it was empowering. It was empowering to some people. It wasn't empowering to me that a guy wore a dress.
And these people all want us to believe they're so oppressed, and they've lived such a tough life, and they've battled so many obstacles to get to where they are, and they're wearing $30 million necklaces.
Well, I don't even think,
I didn't see the Green Book, but Tim, I don't know if you're familiar with, and I saw it this morning on Twitter, I don't know, but that Spike Lee was upset that the Green Book won, and he turned his back on the speech, and a lot of other people didn't think it should have won. I didn't get it. I don't know why.
I read a column this morning. Doug, did you read Brian Truitt's work this morning?
Missed it this morning. I'm going to get to it later.
I'm going to read it, and I want, if the audience and the dais can take a listen, and similar to the gentleman who wore a top half tuxedo and then a large gown.
I mean, yeah, up, it's an upper level tux, lower level gown.
I mean, it was a massive gown. Brian Truitt, furious over Green Book's win. And I read, Green Book would have been a good Best Picture winner in 1990 when Driving Miss Daisy took the top Oscar, or in 2006 so we wouldn't have heard hear about Crash for the next decade. But in 2019, not so much. Green Book winning Sunday at the Academy Awards just felt really wrong, especially during an awards season where the story of a black classical musician and his white driver in the 1960s Jim Crow South has never quite been all right. The movie navigated filmmaker controversies, director Peter Farrelly exposing himself, now Oscar-winning screenwriter Nick Vallelonga's controversial 9/11 tweets, as well as the family of one of its subjects, Dr. Don Shirley, calling it a symphony of lies, and the story coming under fire for portraying race from a white point of view. And somehow Green Book still won Best Picture. It's a head-scratcher of a choice when sitting right there in the category where Black Panther and Spike Lee's Black Klansman, which depicted a racist past that mirrors our current tumultuous times. It's also the wrong choice on a night where Lee stood exultant with the first non-honorary Oscar of his long career, and Hannah Beechler of Black Panther became the first African-American woman to win for production design. Green Book ending the ceremony triumphant was odd, a dunderhead decision at worst, and a dull one at best. Also, if your movie's about race relations, maybe don't have your trophy room pictures be only of white filmmakers. Following the movie's victory lap, social media was not having it. Mm. Then again, Green Book has never been exactly a hit there. The newest Best Pictures victories didn't go over all well in the room either. Green Book filmmakers were met with an underwhelming response after winning for original screenplay, and it didn't get much more rousing when they won the night's main prize, even after getting emotional words earlier in the night from civil rights icon John Lewis and Octavia Spencer, a consultant and producer on the movie, the latter joining Farrelly and fellow filmmakers to accept the Oscar. She doesn't seem like the sort who suffers fools lightly. I thought I was courtside at the Garden, Spike Lee said. The ref made a bad call. And then it's later reported that he got up and tried to walk out, but ushers turned him away. The lone saving grace, a supporting actor win for Green Book star Mahershala Ali, who plays Shirley opposite Viggo Mortensen's racist but getting better Tony Lip. It's the latest of many awards that one of our greatest thespians will take now and in the future. But what will become of Green Book, the movie, heretofore known forever as the 2019 Best Picture winner? Black Panther will get a sequel that will make roughly $1 billion. Black Klansman will give serious heat to Lee's next projects. And Green Book will make a bunch of future Oscar worst of lists where Move Over, Miss Daisy, and Scoot Over, Crash, it'll have some company. Doug, that's Brian Truitt's work this morning on Green Book. So once I read that and thought, oh, wow, this is a parody, and one of those things where I would say, oh, here's another reason that might explain November 2016, I did a little research on Brian Truitt, and Brian Truitt, in July of 2017, was very critical of the World War II film Dunkirk because there were not enough women and actors of color in the World War II movie. But as it turns out, which is based on the British Expeditionary Force, the Army did not have females at all in its ranks.
No.
And as you can imagine, it wasn't exactly real diverse in 1940, and so Bryan wanted to see them just put people of African descent and women into the picture just to make it more diverse, and therefore he criticized the movie. So this is kind of his thing.
So he doesn't really list anything about Green Book as a movie that wasn't good. It was the context of other people winning awards that night, and it would have fit in better. So, I mean, that was really the main gist of his point,
yes,
right?
Yes, he's just unhappy that a film, it's not, they don't determine who wins. So it's not a dunderhead decision. It's a vote, you know. And Green Book was, if I'm not mistaken, Iggy, because you were posting the odds all the time, Roma was the favorite, but Green Book was the second most likely Best Picture winner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Roma was
minus 230. Was it minus 400?
No, I thought it was. Well, either way, it was plus a favorite. Yeah, and then I think Green Book was second, followed by The Favorite, I believe.
And isn't
either
story
way, the
about
overall premise of the column is just—it's just
yeah,
stupid.
God,
that's a movie I wanted to see, and I haven't seen it yet. But everyone I've
seen
it loved
it. Well, now will you not see it because Brian's put it in perspective?
Well, he scored some points. There's no question about it. But it's about a guy who was learning along the way with his partnership with the African American musician how some of the views he grew up thinking were correct were ridiculous. Right? It was a story, as I understand it, of two people coming together and learning that they're really the same, right? Isn't that the premise of their whole travel together?
I've not seen the picture, but that's my understanding of the general summary of the plot. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to see that. And supposedly the acting was great, the story's great, and I don't know who thinks it's a bad movie. I haven't met anyone that thought it was a bad movie.
Everyone I know in 2006, I'm virtually certain. I don't want to say I know. That there was anger that Brokeback Mountain did not win and Crash won. I don't know what people thought, like film historians thought, should have won over Driving Miss Daisy, or if they just didn't like the premise of Driving Miss Daisy. But again, it's not like, man, it sure would be nice if black people could drive old white people around again. It was a historical piece about a bigot coming to terms with, the famous line from that movie is, "You're my best friend, Hoke." Jessica Tandy and Morgan Freeman. Are we just supposed to wash away what was going on, like, you know, 80 years ago? I don't know. Whatever. I just read this crap and I'm just like, what in the hell has happened?
Plowsy saw it and Plowsy loved it, didn't you, Plowsy?
You saw Green Book?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I didn't really understand why there was so much hatred. I did read a couple articles. The one you read about, I read a similar one explaining that and kind of painted a little bit different picture than what actually happened. I just go to a movie to be entertained, and I just loved the movie, and I didn't really see anything wrong with it, and I think a lot of people who saw it feel the same way. But there's always going to be people, especially with a movie this popular, that will hate it and then will paint the picture as to why.
Most movies that depict something that is based on a true story and take some of the facts and throw them out the window or change them up. We've seen that with very popular, well-received, award-winning movies over the years that it's not something. Didn't you just say that? I don't know that much about Queen, but didn't you say a lot of the stuff in Bohemian Rhapsody was not 100%?
Yeah, it wasn't accurate. But
I mean, that happened.
I saw Black Klansman. I thought it was fantastic, too. I mean,
which was better in your talk? Which was your...
Green Book was great. I thought that was the best movie I saw in a while. But Black Klansman was certainly fantastic as well. I don't think you'd go wrong with either.
Why do you hate Spike Lee?
I don't. I gave him praise. I thought it was a fantastic movie. Yeah. I just thought Green Book was better. Okay. But of course, there's people that will disagree.
I like Brian, when Samuel L. Jackson gave a quick Knicks update. That was
a nice win.
Yeah, that was nice. As a Knicks fan, I did appreciate that. They wanted the Garden.
The Spurs.
What was the movie a few years back that got all the Oscar buzz and won so many awards? Was it how many years a slave? 20 years a slave?
12 years a slave.
12 years a slave. I mean, that's depicting slavery. I mean, we don't believe slavery goes on anymore, but that was a movie about slavery. we wouldn't talk about slavery nowadays. So that's like saying Green Book, oh, you can't talk about that. We don't do that anymore. Well, that was the whole point of the movie.
Well, I think this guy is mad because the filmmakers were not African-American on a night where African-American contributions in the film community were singled out and honored.
And do you believe that Spike Lee, as famous as he is, tried to walk out of an auditorium and an usher said, you can't leave, okay, I'll go back, sit down. You'd walk the hell out, don't you?
I thought I saw when that was announced and they did a quick shot of the crowd. I honestly thought he was trying to leave, because I said to my wife, I think Spike is mad.
Well, he probably was mad that he didn't win. And the show was over at that point, too.
Well, he did win for screenplay, which is, it's hard to believe. Some of his movies, I mean, if you look, I think one of my favorite movies of all time is Malcolm X.
I'm a big Malcolm X fan, too.
Yeah, how Denzel Washington didn't win for that. Spike Lee didn't win anything for that. I mean, he probably should have won two or three times, so maybe there is something about him in Hollywood that he rubs people the wrong way.
Was that nominated for Best Picture?
What's that? Malcolm X? I think so.
I think Denzel
was nominated. He didn't win. Maybe that's the year he's talking about. He lost to Driving Miss Daisy.
It was Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah. I know that, but I don't believe it was nominated that year. But Malcolm X was a couple years later. Malcolm X was 92.
I thought
so
it was nominated.
The 93 Academy Awards.
I'll check that. I thought it was nominated. I just thought it was such a fabulous
film. Doug, do you know if it
was
nominated?
I don't know if it was nominated
or not. It was
not
nominated. It was nominated for Best Actor for Denzel.
In that movie. That's hard to believe.
I thought the best summation I saw of the Oscars came from a tweet from Pat Sajak, who said, I know it's hard for the general public to understand why we have all these award shows, but try to understand that we don't get much recognition nor enjoy many perks, and we are pretty poorly compensated. So please, bear with us.
Nice.
Thank you, Pat.
You're a Pat Sajak guy.
Big time.
He works 1 week a month, and the other three he spends in Baltimore.
Right. And just gets filthy rich doing it.
In the year Denzel Washington was nominated for Malcolm X, Al Pacino won for Scent of a Woman.
Yeah. Can't argue with that, but I do believe Denzel Washington, that was his best performance. And then everything he's done I've loved, but I think that was his best performance.
What about Stephen Ray that year, who played Fergus in The Crying Game and was lucky enough to be with a woman and then...
No.
Didn't see that.
Discover there was a ween.
I thought the biggest news out of the whole Oscars night was that Pacino and the boys are going to be back together for another mob movie coming up.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. They were promoting.
They're getting kind of old now, aren't they?
I think it's going to be about guys. I was trying to find out. I can't remember the name of the movie. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because they mentioned it, and then
when you say the boys like De Niro and Scorsese and Joe Pesci and
The Irishman, and Pesci and Scorsese are coming back for a mob movie called The Irishman. And I was Gangster Pete for telling me. I googled The Irishman, and they have a few pictures of the shooting, but they don't really have an in-depth plot yet.
So all these actors are going to be in their 70s.
I don't
now.
Care.
Is that accurate? We got a bunch of gangsters in their 70s.
I'm with
running
Doug
around?
On this. I love mob gangster movies, but let's slow your roll on the 70-year-olds. I don't want hand-to-hand combat with these guys. I don't want to see.
No, but a lot of retirement. Let's wait and see it because a lot
maybe
of
maybe they have kids like Creed. Maybe they have kids that are now in the mob.
Michael B. Jordan.
I have a feeling we're not going to see Pesci go toe to toe. I think. Like the old mob families, the hierarchy was older guys, and then foot soldiers were the young guys that would say, "Come on!"
But they
but
were
the older guys, so maybe this
Perry
focuses
Marino's
on,
father.
Yeah, thank you for a minute. Come on!
I just hope they don't do the Irish accent, because when you do that, you can't understand them.
Well, it's a mob thing, so I think it's going to be mostly mob-sounding guys. Okay. I don't think it's going to be We want to rule our land.
I don't want my last vision of these guys to just, they're struggling to get the gun out of the holster. They're walking kind of, you know, with their
hips. I don't
hips
care,
look
I'm
like
in.
They're on their
we gotta, I don't care, I'm in.
We got to whack the stool pigeon. But first, I got to get my prostate checked.
Clint Eastwood just did a movie. What's he, 80-something?
And I want to see that one, The Mule. I want to see Green Book, The Mule. Those are the two I have on my list.
I would recommend Green Book for sure.
Well, I'll get right on that.
What's the name of the guy who was one of the co-stars of Green Book?
Oh, I gotta look up
this. Allie? Oh, Virgo Morgenthau.
Yes, and he said he felt he was on the hot seat because he was portraying an Italian-American and he had no background. So he spent time with this guy's family, the guy who we portrayed, learning how they communicated and some of the things, you know, that are important to them. But from what I saw from the clips, he does a pretty good accent.
Yeah, it sounded fine. Yeah. It sounded like an Italian. That's the reason Lady Gaga didn't get the lead in the Johnny Versace movie. They wanted her to play Donatello Versace.
She is Italian, isn't she?
Yeah, but she just couldn't get the Italian dialogue.
Well, if she was a better actress, she would have, you know.
Pulled it off like she does
Vigo
with singing.
Vigo can do it, you know.
Well, they gave it to Penelope Cruz, who every once in a while would shift into the Mexican accent.
Gaga could have just done it in the studio and, you know, get 50 cracks at it until you get it right, kind of like the singing, and then... You know, mouth sync it.
And Tim, congratulations having the tweet of the year last night. As we move on quickly.
What, the hand lotion one? Yeah, I saw that. I liked it. I didn't see it till this morning.
I haven't seen it, but I like it.
No, I saw it. I saw it this morning, and I liked it. I wasn't watching any tweets last night.
Iggy, did you feel like there was something going on between Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga?
Oh, I think there has, yeah.
Wow.
They're actors. They're in a love movie.
Doug
love story.
Is exasperated by this.
They're supposed to act like they're in love.
Has it happened?
That's how they make
their
money.
Has it happened before? That co-stars kind of...
Doesn't matter. I mean, it happens all the time.
No, I said, has it happened?
Sure it does.
So it could have happened.
Tell him to step down.
But it hasn't.
How do you know?
Because I'm confident that they're acting.
Well, sure, they act, but then something happens off screen when they do all that kissing and making out in the bathtub and fall in love.
Don't you think he could do a lot better than her?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's what
that
it comes
broke his
down
heart.
To.
I'm sorry, Iggy, I didn't have to say that.
I have to leave now. There's something terribly wrong with you. You just keep going after her.
See, Bradley Cooper is
they are on the text line also, by the way.
His significant other is extremely attractive, yeah. But I think I'd take Gaga over her.
You would? Come on.
Yes. Instagram models are a dime a dozen. They always come out with, there's always the next hottest one. Lady Gaga's worth a half billy, super talented, in the prime of her career. She could easily move to the two movies and be just fine. She's fantastic. Yes, Kat.
What about love? You're bringing all these surface things to the forefront. What about love?
His emotions looked robotic with his model girlfriend in the stands, but when he was on stage,
he shifted into actor mode.
Those eyes,
I'll be honest with you, I love you. I don't get caught up in this.
Oh, for heaven's sakes,
I don't get caught up in this. But I watched after in the aftermath of their performance where I did sense there was something, maybe not romantic, but there was some sort of bond going on. And then when I saw he was back seated next to his girlfriend, it looked to me like she was clapping, going, "Oh, we're gonna have a talk after this."
I don't know about that.
New diamond necklace.
Look, when Biff and I were in Vegas for the AVNs, she performed twice that Thursday and Saturday night at the Park MGM. He came to Vegas for her Saturday show to see her show, and then went up on stage and sang with her. Why did he do that?
Well, they're trying to sell a movie.
The movie's already made $300 million. It's already out on Blu-ray. You don't
Maybe
need to sell
friend.
It anymore.
Your interest in Lady Gaga is purely platonic, so you say, and that you have no interest in pursuing her as a romantic interest. Is it possible that Bradley Cooper feels like you, sir, in that he's a fan of her on a friend level?
Oh, I'm sure they're friends, but I still think he banged her. That's just me. I could be wrong.
855-282-8282.
Yeah, don't take that like I know it. I don't want to get sued.
Gaga has flapjacks for cans and a huge dong. Brad can do better. It's from Greg Oden's Stovepipe.
Why do you find that so funny?
A lot of analogies. Why don't you name the text.
Go watch 5'2". It's a documentary on Netflix. She takes her top off at the pool. Tell me those are flapjacks.
How many times have you watched that, Iggy?
Only once.
Right.
No, I have only watched it once.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the scene where she's nude, you've only watched once?
Well, yeah, there's hundreds of topless pictures of her out there.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
There's one out there of her going down with
Okay, easy now. Please. Easy now.
Lady Starlight.
Easy
Lady
now.
Lady Starlight.
Yeah, that's that's her go-to performer for backup. I mean, they've been friends for a long time. They performed at...
You think they've tripped, bro?
Oh, I think so.
Great. Now I'm in.
This is an important discussion.
Doug, here's something else that's really important in the appliance discounter 7 o'clock hour. TMA Live is back and bigger than ever, Jack. Coming up on March 7th, TMA Live will be at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. This is a TMA Live that you don't want to miss. Giveaways include, Doug, this is a big night for you.
Why?
Custom Doug Vaughn t-shirts.
What t-shirts?
I was sent a copy of the shirt. Now, this is the radio station. This is not a Gangster Pete, the Versace of radio fashion.
Oh.
But this is a radio, it's just you get there, the first 50 people get them, and it's a remake of the Doug Vaughn suspension t-shirt.
Oh, okay. My,
is it sharp. Giveaways include custom Doug Vaughn t-shirts and dinner with Doug
for one
lucky lemming and three friends. They call that the less popular MMMMMM.
No one said anything about that to me.
Are you serious?
About all the M's.
Oh.
No, about all the M's.
You assumed it would be you and four 25-year-old women.
So, well, kind of, yeah. But maybe bikini model Brittany and her friends. That's who I was led to believe it was with.
Maybe.
And now you're telling me it's MMMMM.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I got maybe a 34-year-old, 5'8" guy who's 240 pounds with a shaved head and a beard wearing a Blues jersey. That's kind of who I assume it's going to be.
And after this dinner, maybe you and he can strike up a sort of kinship the way Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga
have. I don't think so. They said, would you want to have dinner with one of the listeners? I said, sure, okay. Well, they didn't say, I got to be with MMMMMM.
And then it was a hotel stay, too.
Okay. It's what? Well,
I didn't see the hotel stay.
Yeah, hotel stay.
It doesn't say a hotel stay.
It's not in my copy.
Send me a picture of the t-shirt, would you? I would like to see that.
Oh, absolutely. I'll text it over. Plus, Hotshots TMA-themed menu with great food and drink specials. It's a night of participation. Night of fellowship. It's TMA Live. It's all happening on March 7th at the Hotshots in O'Fallon, Illinois. Don't miss it.
We have to figure out...
logistics.
No, this is logistics because...
Is it?
You know, we're normally when we do games, because we'll do a Doug trivia to win the contest. Normally, I'll just before we start the show, I get there early and I just line up people to play these games.
Yeah.
I can't just pick three people.
Not that.
Hey, you want to play the Doug game? Hey, you want to? Like, because there's probably gonna be 100 people that want to play this game.
Because they
won't have a clue.
They want to have dinner with you.
Oh, I don't know.
So instead of just picking three people, I can't do that because it's somebody. Hey, I wanted to play. You didn't ask me, so. I think maybe what we might do is for the first 50 people that come and get the shirts, they're also going to get a raffle ticket. And then we might just pick three raffle tickets for the people to play the game.
Oh, look at that t-shirt.
That might be the fair thing to do.
I want one of these. What a great gift to have.
Now
look
the,
at that.
Now the first 49 that show up will get one.
I don't remember even having
45,
that picture
I think
taken.
The whole day is gets one.
Doug, you look fabulous. Tim, doesn't he look fabulous?
It looks like me from about 10 years ago, too.
You look like you could be on the front of a roll of Bounty paper towel. Like a big rough and tumble guy.
Sure.
You will suspend someone or you will knock them into next week.
It says you have been suspended. Okay. All right. I hadn't seen that picture.
Boy, the station really likes you. It's been my experience that radio stations, when they do caricatures or T-shirts for the people on the dais, they try to make them look really awful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had that happen in 2006. It's unfortunate.
Who looked awful?
Oh, well, Martin, the cat, and I all looked awful. It was just a matter of who looked the worst. I look at Martin and I have never noticed a similarity with him and Jay Leno, but apparently the people from Big League Broadcasting,
Big Chin,
they saw it. They saw it. Yep, they did see it.
I think Kat looked like Joe Belsler from the Stooges.
I have no
idea.
The cat
had a fade.
Joe
Belsler. I didn't
even
realize the cat had a fade, but in the picture, the cat had a fade.
And we all looked like that we had sustained some sort of chromosomal damage in our lives.
Yeah, it was hot. It was very.
But this one.
Those are the very T-shirts. By the way, we were doing a remote from the McDonald's across from Rams Park in Earth City, and I think they gave us 10, and we ran out within the private producer Joe's listing, so he can confirm this. We ran out of shirts like right away when people came to get them, and then Joe was banty AF. Doug, he was banty AF.
You don't have to say AF.
and comes back to the radio station in Webster Groves and was bitching about the fact that we only had 10 shirts and not enough to give out. And now, Joe, if you're listening, I assume you are. Well, if you were, though, I would assume he would have texted in about Iggy and Lady Gaga already. But then told the general manager of the station to go F himself. And that ended producer Joe's first run at with the show.
I heard the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, you heard it? You were a witness?
I was in the sports office that we had right around
the
corner.
What's the sports office?
Well, that's where all the producers sat. In that little room off to the side where
the sports office
general manager's office was
sports station. That was that's where all the sports took
and place. I had the first desk there and I heard the whole thing.
You had quite a little cubicle set up there with pictures of your past.
Yeah, you did. It a lot took, of Farrah Fawcett and Pia
Zadora.
It took me 3 days to take all the stuff off the wall when I got fired.
What'd you do with it all?
I still have it.
Well, why don't you put it up at the office here?
I don't have an office.
Well, we've got a kind of a group office back there.
Yeah, it's not an office. It's just I don't need an office, and I don't put that stuff up anymore.
All right.
I'm too old for that. It's like I don't play with dolls anymore. I'm too old.
Well, you were too old then, too.
Yeah, so it wasn't like back then you were a spring chicken. What's the cutoff age of posting pictures of you and celebrities on the wall? 60?
40? Now?
We just like the pictures.
Yeah, going to Facebook.
I mean, it was you
rather.
And Pia Zadora.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a happenstance. It wasn't even planned. I was walking by, I was in this mall, and there's a bunch of people in line. I said, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Hope Pia Zadora is signing her penthouse. Yeah.
So you went up there and got in line, did you?
She was just at South County Mall signing a penthouse.
I think it was one of those places, and I just got a picture with her. Kind of like my Don Johnson look. I look like Harry Reams in that picture. I look like a porn star.
Any sparks Harry fly between Reams. The two of yous?
I think she dug me.
You think Pia Zadora dug you?
I do.
Did you make a play on the gal?
No, I think she had just come out with that movie she did.
Who can forget it?
One movie. Yeah, she got naked the whole time.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
But yeah, so I just said, yeah, I like Pia Zadora. So got a picture taken and yeah.
And then what happened after that is left to
don't
our imagination.
Know her, don't know her, never talk to her again, never met her once. And so you know she's not a friend, never interviewed her. Just got a picture with her.
How'd you know she might have been interested in you? She gave you the look?
Well, you look at the picture, Kat. She's all over me.
Is she really?
I don't have the picture. I just saw it many years ago.
That's why we like you to put those pictures back up.
Go to Facebook and look at them. They're
I don't have Facebook, so I'm out of
luck. Well, Doug asked for the look. Just go to my Facebook page, go to photos and look. I'm sure they're all in there.
I think it would add some charm to our office if you put some of your nice
pictures. Well, go to the fan page today. I'm sure somebody's already looking for it, has found it, and we'll post it.
Okay.
Doug, it's on there. You got to get to the fan page. Send your emails in. Hotshots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's the Hotshots email today. You know, this is fun. It's kind of like what the Cardinals are doing today against the Detroit Tigers at Roger Dean Stadium. Just having a little exhibition, trying to get ready for the big prize they begin to pursue in the month of March. Well, it's the same thing for our emailers because Carlos Spicy Wiener has clinched another month. In 2019, he has won January, and now he has won February, and that's because he shipped it with a win on Friday. So, you know, the next 4 days, people are just going to get their work in, try to throw free and easy and see what they can do. And then here we go on Friday. We start up another one, and can Carlos Spicy Wiener sweep the first quarter? And then at that point, you start to get some local news stations paying attention to what's going on with the email of the day.
We'll really start to pay attention at that point.
He might win all 12 months.
Yeah.
Timmy Tom-Tom came back, though, and showed that he still got it on Friday, I felt like.
Yeah, he kind of dipped his toe back in the water after a hiatus. Do we know for sure that he wasn't in prison for a couple months?
I can't confirm. I can't deny.
Okay, because he kind of fell off the face of the earth for a while.
That's quite an accusation.
Well, you just wonder of a guy texts in and writes in and emails in every day, and then all of a sudden he's not there for 2 months. I assume he's in the hooscow.
I think you're only allowed a few emails a month, too, from prison.
Sometimes, and a guy who was in the industry said this, sometimes you need to recharge your batteries, and it's always good to leave the audience wanting more.
That's true. That actually is true. That's true.
And you think he took that advice from Jason Barrett?
Yeah. I believe in keeping the content fresh, recharging my batteries, and leaving the audience wanting more.
And he's sitting at home. He's sitting at home right now thinking, how did I lose so much money on this summit?
Oh, was it not a profitable experience?
How could it be?
You got the financials?
Well, you had to pay those people to show up, and every time somebody posted a picture, it was like 10 people in the audience. Even if $250 for 10 people, that's $2,500. I guarantee you paid. Rome is not going and speaking somewhere for less than $10,000.
Who?
Jim Rome was there.
Was it?
He's not going anywhere to speak for less than $10,000.
This is at a Jason Barrett summit?
Yeah. Jason Whitlock was there. I saw someone tweeted out a picture of that.
This just
three
happened?
Big names. Yeah.
Like over the weekend it happened?
I don't know.
Recent, and all these people had to be paid. And now my guess is, and this is just a guess, that he figures, you know what, I'm not going to make money off this because the people I have to pay and some I'm going to have to fly in, put up. A lot of them lived in L.A., so he saved there. But I'm not going to get a ton of people to come to this. But the ones that do come, I'll be able to hit them up and try and get them to give me a consulting job, and then I'll make some money in the long run. I'm guessing that's what his thought process was.
Doug, they call that a loss leader.
I guess they do, yeah.
This is not a loss leader. Introducing the Post Sports Bar and Grill's Progressive Happy Hour. Stop by any Post location Monday through Friday from 2 to 7. 2 to 7. And enjoy domestic drafts and, well, starting at only $1. The price progresses 50 cents each hour. So at 6 p.m. you get domestic drafts and wells for only $3. Get there early and save big, or get there later and you still save big. Plus, select appetizers are available for only $5. Progressive Happy Hour at the Post. As if you needed another reason to stay posted. And now at thepostsportsbar.com, use promo code BOGO590. BOGO590. Yeah, see, there's a little teetery-t. And drop your email address where prompted at the bottom of the page and get a coupon for a buy one, get one free cheesesteak. Limit one coupon per email address. It's the Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friend. Send your emails in for our email today. It's brought to you by Hot Shots, host of TMA Live. And a date night with Doug on Thursday, March
2nd. It doesn't say date night.
It's a good way to say it. I don't know who wrote that, but I applaud them.
First 50 people who go get T-shirts of You Have Been Suspended 2 days' time. That's Thursday, March 7th at Hot Shots in O'Fallon. We will close out the appliance discounter, 7 o'clock hour, coming up on the STL Tax Lawyer Captain's Log. A new team is interested in Bryce Harper. Doug, this story does not go away. And also, this week, the cat, you have John Mozeliak on the Cat Chat, and I have Dexter Fowler on the Tim McKernan Show, and we have some clips from those sodes coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. It's all in the STL Tax Lawyer Captain's Log. Stick around, won't you, friends? It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet Studios.
Many of us, if we're being honest, have given up hope on good sleep. But why? Well, if you're like me, you've tried everything and nothing has helped. So if we're not going to sleep well anyway, why try? That kind of thinking is so 2021. It's time to rethink our nights and days and demand more from our sleep. Talk with your doctor about how you can seize the night and day, and visit seizethenightandday.com to learn more.